D-Mace, Vingen, and Darnik 1025. The game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, David Janes here with you. Willie Darnik, asleep, I think. It's 11 o'clock.
Yeah, he better be.
In Stockholm, Sweden, where the Nashville Predators are as they prepare to take on the Penguins in two games as part of the NHL's Global Series. But I did catch up with Willie Darnik earlier today, and we will play that conversation for you in the next segment. We talked Predators, or I talked Predators, with Willie. It was great to catch up. I feel like I haven't seen Willie.
Well, you haven't.
I haven't.
Yeah.
He was sick, and then he was abroad. So it was nice to actually see Willie, and of course he'll be back here rested and ready to go next week. But I caught up with Willie, and we'll play that conversation in the next segment. The Tennessee Titans were back on the practice field today after their bye/off week. Joe Rexroad hates the term bye week, so I'm trying to
it is a bye week.
Not upset him by saying bye week. Anyway, for whatever it's worth, and look, I know it's the injury report for a, 1-8 team, but Calvin Ridley back on the practice field today, limited with the hamstring injury. Arden Key limited with the quadricep injury. Chikakonkwo was limited with a foot injury. Jeffrey Simmons did not practice with the hamstring injury. So at least Calvin Ridley appears to be trending toward returning to the lineup. The Titans host the Texans this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. So the question I have for Derek and all of you, 615-737-1025, what should we be looking for from Cam Ward in the second half of the season? Because, look, it's not going to be wins. The Titans aren't going to win many games. I would not be shocked if the Titans don't win another game for the rest of the season to finish 1-16. But what should we be looking for? And Mike McCoy talked about this. I believe this was yesterday. Mike McCoy talked about it. I thought he had some interesting answers. Here's what Mike McCoy said about Cam Ward and the Titans' offense yesterday.
Well, I think, you know, in my current role, I'm more involved with him. So, you know, I can, like, I met with him this morning, and I sat down with him, and I had made a tape for him to kind of look at after watching all the tapes and kind of saying, hey, here's some things I think you could look at and from my perspective, and here's some things you can mechanically clean up. Or, you know, and it's not going to just happen overnight because he's done it a certain way, like we've talked about a number of times, thousands of times. But just little things, whether it's pocket movements, whether it's release points, target line, there's a number of different things you talk about, decision making, all those things, doing the next best thing when something's not there. You guys always ask about him taking off and running. You know, that's one thing, you know, I got an opportunity this weekend to sit around and watch the games. You see a lot of those. You know, the quarterbacks, all of a sudden it's not there and they take off and run, and it's a positive play. They're staying ahead and down in distance. So there's a number of things that I've, you know, I kind of talk to him about now on a daily basis, whether it's after a practice. You know, you just go up to him and say, hey, that's that one I talked to you about. Hey, if you just stay on the move instead of trying to force it, you know, it's 2nd and 6 instead of being, you know, 2nd and 10, things like that. So there's constant communication with him. But the great thing with Cam is that he wants to be great, and he wants that input on a daily basis.
That was Mike McCoy talking about Cam Ward and what they hope to see from him over the second half of the season. What did you think of McCoy's response there?
I think it was a honest response. You know, they went back and he looked at some things that he could get better at. You know, you had a lot of time this week, and those were, you know, a few things that coach felt, you know, he can get better at it. He need to continue to work at. And I'm sure Cam watched tons of film, and there are things that he noticed. That's why sometimes, you know, that's why bye weeks, it's critical when you have them. And it's not just for your physical health. I think mentally you're able to go back and you have a body of games that you can look at and you can pick up on your tendencies. The teams that have a bye after like the 3rd or 4th week, I mean, how much self-evaluating can you do? I mean, you can go back and look at some games, but a lot of it is, you know, you get the rest, but you don't, because you don't have enough game film from that season to sort of go back to. You can go back to the 4 games, but maybe that didn't show all your tendencies. So when you have a bye weeks, as the Titans do, where they've had, you know, 8-9 games in their pocket. Now McCoy can go back and look at some of the things that Cam can go back and look at, man, I keep doing this every game. How do I fix it? So those things are going to be critical. And people, it's I just want to see from Cam moving forward that he's developing. Listen, it may not equal the wins, but it may equal, you know, him having a better rapport with his receivers. Things like that, things that are going to matter as the years go on, because they're building a foundation, and we talked about this, the foundation and pillars, do they have and whatnot. But ultimately what is happening, whether we think they have pillars or not, they're building. And, you know, if they can continue to develop with those three young guys, Elik, DK, and Helm, along with Cam, that's going to be good for this program. That's going to be good for this organization. And people think that this stuff happens overnight. And you hear the reports of do they have enough time, and Paul does a great job at getting sort of, you know, getting the coaches to answer those questions and follow-up questions with it. And a lot of times it's hard to do that when you're in a season. But just because we don't have a drill for it, when we do have that drill, I expect you, these are the things you got to be conscious of when we're running our plays too. Not only do you got to make sure you're going through your progressions, but what allows you to go through your progressions in a fluid way if your feet are right. So be conscious of that each and every time you're out there on the surface, on the playing surface. So it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, I can tell you firsthand, you know, going in as a rookie or even as a freshman going come from high school to college, I had this horrible tendency when I ran my routes to drop my arms. They used to call, they used to say, D-Maze, you're doing a parachute because everybody knows that you're about to stop. And I had to go back and watch it. And it didn't happen overnight. It took me like a year and a year and a half to really get it all out of my system. Like where I didn't, to it became second nature now to keep my arms moving, come in and out of my routes quickly. So what Cam is going through, he's been doing these things his whole career. They're trying to, you know, navigate through that and get him better, get him away from those things that, yeah, he was able to do them in college, but we know once you get in the NFL, those things got to be tightened up. They're getting him to learn that, and it's not going to happen overnight. He may look good, and then he may throw a dirt ball, and everybody say, well, it's because of his footwork. Well, no, not really. When he's running to his left and trying to throw back to his right, any quarterback, I don't care if your footwork is perfect, you may dirt a ball. That's going to happen, people. But don't think that all of a sudden now Cam's going to come off out of bye week, first three games, oh, he's going to clear up. No, he still is going to have to work through that stuff. But in working through that, I want to see the development as well. So as long as he develops, he doesn't have to be a finished product by the end of the season, but as long as he gets better and develop each and every game, and I'm not talking about wins, that's all I'm looking for, because you got three other guys that this offense is trying to be built around. Gunner Helm, Elik Almaner, and DK. And they already talked about Gunner getting more targets. So that tells you what this coaching staff or what the offensive coordinator is thinking when it comes to these young guys.
Teron Davenport of ESPN.com, who popped into the studio during the break, always good to see TD, wrote a story about Cam Ward for ESPN.com today. And this was an interesting passage, Derek, about some of the changes that the Titans are making since Mike McCoy took over with Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. TD writes, quote, under McCoy, Ward has operated in play action on 27 dropbacks over the past three games. He has a 62.5% completion rate on play action over that span. In those three games, two of Ward's five passing touchdowns came off play action as well. His off-target throws dropped from 21.5% in regular pass plays to 12.5% on play action. Before McCoy took over as interim coach, Ward had run play action on 49 dropbacks. He hasn't thrown an interception in 66 total play action pass attempts and has been sacked only six times.
Show me what he does well, and let's build on that.
Sounds like
don't tell
play
me
what, action
exactly.
is working.
Don't tell me what he can't do. Let's right now, he's a young guy. Show me what he can do, and let's build on that and do it really well. And then let's branch off of that, the play action. But let's not try to do something that he's not doing too well right now. We're trying to develop him. We're not trying to walk him backwards. So if the play action is what he does well, then let's find a way to incorporate the run game, the screen game, everything to play action. Because the more we do it, the better he becomes. Tom Brady was great at that stuff. Play action. Peyton Manning was great at that stuff. Play action. That was a part of their strength, that everything looked the same when it came to them. And they can find that hole very quickly. So if play action is what he does best, and it seems like that's what it is, then let's work everything around play action, at least for now.
The other thing that we've all talked about, Willie included, that we want to see Cam Ward do more of is use his legs. And NFL Pro has its fantasy numbers, and it tracks scramble attempts. So it's interesting to look at the leaders in this category. Drake May leads the NFL with 41 scramble rush attempts this season. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes at 37, Jaden Daniels at 35, Josh Allen at 29, Justin Herbert and Caleb Williams also at 29. No surprises there. Cam Ward, according to NFL Pro, has 12 scramble attempts all season and one designed rushing attempt all season long. I don't know exactly how they figure that out. I'm just going by what I see in front of me. But that is something that I think a lot of Titans fans want to see more of. Now, I'm also cognizant of the fact that Jackson Dart likes to get out and run, and he's been evaluated for 4 concussions, including the preseason this season. He's not starting for the New York Giants this weekend. That would be Jameis Winston. And how great is it to see Jameis Winston starting in the NFL again?
Listen, be careful what you ask for, okay? I understand and I know that, you know, there are opportunities for Cam to run, and he should, especially when you're talking about, you know, 3-4 yards to pick up a first down, or the difference between taking a 6-yard loss on a sack or a 2-yard get down and gain on a quarterback, you know, maneuvering out of the pocket and getting some yardage. But that's not something I've resigned to. That's not something he does well. And yes, you're going to tell him, listen, if it's there, take it. If it's there, take it. And you're going to keep on reiterating it. But if that's something that he doesn't do well, then you just hope that as he starts to get more mature in his game, he will understand that, okay, it's better for me to pick up this 5 than to dirt the ball or take a sack. I think he will find that out pretty soon here. But I'm not quick to tell him to run. Would I like for him to run a little bit more? Yeah, it's just to pick up yardage. But listen, I don't want him to sacrifice himself just to get a yard. Like, in the big scheme of things, we need you to be throwing a football, not running around and getting hit. Again, do I think he can run? Of course. But I don't think that's a strong part of his game. So if it's me, I will just keep reminding him that, hey, you can run. You can run. Look at this. On this play, you can run. I will remind him of that. But I won't make it so, oh, you got to run. That's why Dabo got fired, because he was designing runs for his quarterback, all 6'5 of them. And his young man, he was putting him in harm's way. And these owners ain't having that. They're not. You don't see nobody complaining about Cam Ward not running. You don't hear nobody complaining, really. Would the coaches like him to run a little bit more? Yeah, but nobody's complaining. The only people that are complaining is us.
Yes.
Because we ain't got to deal with the aftermath
that
if he gets hurt.
That is true.
But I understand it.
The one thing I said last week, we did one of our periodic Cam Ward vibe checks. And what I said was, my goal for Cam Ward after the bye week, play well enough that when the season is over, you are not dead last in every major category. Don't be dead last in QBR. Don't be dead last in passer rating. Don't be last in expected points added per dropback, all the nerdy stuff. Don't be statistically the worst quarterback in the NFL, because that's where he is right now. And we know that Cam Ward doesn't have a lot of help, and that will hinder him in trying to attain the goal that I have set for him that he didn't ask for, but that's part of the job of Sports Talk Radio. We put things on people that they don't ask for. But that's all I'm asking for. I want to see Cam Ward improve just enough so that when the season is over, I'm not thinking to myself, man, Titans made a mistake by drafting Cam Ward. That and some of you I know are already there. Trust me. We see the text line. We see the text line say, bust. Should have taken the Giants offer. And look, I get it. There isn't much to be excited about with the Tennessee Titans. I jokingly said it was a great Sunday because I didn't have to devote 3 hours of my time to watch the Tennessee Titans, but that will change this weekend, of course. But all I'm asking for Cam Ward in the second half of the season, I just want to see him play like a competent quarterback, which, again, competent isn't sexy. You want elite. But considering where Cam Ward is right now, I will settle for competent in the second half of the season. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What are your goals for Cam Ward in the second half of the season? Let us know. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, earlier today, I caught up with our very own Willie Donick, who is in Stockholm, Sweden, with the Nashville Predators. So I talked Predators with Willie. I got a vibe check. Speaking of vibe checks, I got a vibe check from Willie in Stockholm. We'll play that conversation for you coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Adam Vingan here, and DVD is an international production. We are not confined by state lines. We are not even confined by the borders of the United States of America. So let's go all the way to Stockholm, Sweden, and catch up with our very own Willie Donick, who is with the Predators in Stockholm, Sweden, as part of the NHL Global Series. Willie, how are you?
Adam, I am so excited for this breakthrough performance. This is truly groundbreaking. You mentioned borders. Not even oceans can separate me from DVD. It's great to talk to you.
Absolutely. So let's just start with the travel. The Predators played in New York, and we will get to that game, a 6-3 loss to the New York Rangers on Monday evening. But right after the game, right, the Predators jetted from New York to Stockholm, Sweden. Describe the travel for us starting on Monday night.
Well, it's New York City, so the hustle and bustle. It's the city that never sleeps. It was, of course, not a good game for the Predators, but everybody jumped on the buses, went right to the airport, jumped on a very big plane with the team and a slightly increased traveling party, some personnel that's going over. Some of the game operations people will be on hand, and so they traveled with us. A small group of sponsors and a small group of NHL people came over. But so it was the middle of the day. The team went right to the arena to set up all the equipment and do a small workout to try to acclimate to the time change. So there really was no rest for the weary. Monday's game was their 12th in 20 days. Whatever you could sleep on the flight, that's your sleep that you got before that practice. I can tell you that I barely slept. It's quite the turnaround. And so it was a day of acclimating, and it's a good day to hit the reset button for sure.
So I read an interesting story by Amelie Benjamin of NHL.com, who is with the Predators
on this trip.
And she talked to Steven Stamkos about his experience playing in Stockholm with the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2019-2020. And I'm reading directly from her story here. Quote, "The trip had such an impact on them, on their bonding, on their psyches, that the word Stockholm ended up emblazoned on the Stanley Cup rings they won months later." Now, Just to be clear, I am not saying that the Predators are going to win the Stanley Cup because they went to Stockholm. But the point of the story by Amelie Benjamin of NHL.com, the Predators are 5-9-4. They've lost 5 in a row. They've lost 8 of 9. But Stamkos talked about how important that bonding was for that Lightning team. So what are the players saying about that experience? What could that experience mean for this Predators team as they've struggled out of the gate?
I think the only way to answer that will be to see how they play on Friday and Sunday. They're still at the beginning of this. Today was an official practice. Tomorrow will be a day off, and it's a much-needed day off for the team because it has been a whirlwind. And one thing a team can never do is complain about the schedule. But when you look at it, 12 games in 20 days, and the last 9, I think, without your best player in Roman Josi, where you're playing every other night with some back-to-backs mixed in there. That's about the maximum amount of games that you can play in a 20-day span. I was talking to Brian Boyle, former Predator, who now does New York Rangers commentary. When I told him 12 and 20, he was flabbergasted. And he's, you know, he played forever. He's been on some of these trips. And I think you saw a team that was mentally and physically tired on Monday. And once again, that's not them making the excuse. That's just my observation of what I saw that looked like in the tank. It's a low tank. So I think from what you heard from Stamkos, what you hope to get out of this is just you're away from everything else. It's a beautiful, unique environment. It's a life experience that nobody will forget. And hopefully it leads to a little resurgence in energy, in enthusiasm for the game, and maybe a little bit of team bonding that goes with it. And so you never know what something like this can do for a team.
Let's talk about the one positive thing that came out of Monday's 6-3 loss to the Rangers. And we will talk about the aftermath of that loss. But the one positive thing that came out of that loss was Matthew Wood recording his first career NHL hat trick. I believe on the FanDuel Sports Network broadcast, Willie, you had the stat that Matthew Wood is the youngest player in Predators history to record a hat trick. And he's been off to a fabulous start for the Predators. 10 points in 11 games. His 6 goals are tied for first among rookies in the NHL. So what have you seen from Matthew Wood? Because remember, he didn't start the season with the team. He was injured. But since he's been recalled and inserted into the lineup, he has been incredibly productive. So what are you seeing from Matthew Wood?
Well, I see a young man who is long, right? He's got a unique build in that he, and this is something that I think made him a first-round pick. He's got some length and some reach, which makes it hard for defenders to get the puck away from him. And he is not explosive. He's not flashy. But I think when you watch him, he's very unique in how he sees the ice and can find passing lanes. I think he's very good at anticipating where people are going to be. He's not a speedster. So is he a budding superstar? I don't think so. But I really am optimistic, and we never know with these things, right, Adam? There, I think you could probably find 5 or 6 games where Phil Tomasino looked like he was going to be something really good, and then it leveled off, and we see where he is right now. Who knows if he's even going to be in the lineup for Pittsburgh when they take the ice. He's been in and out of a lineup that's been banged up. So the development of players we know is not linear. But Wood looks like he's got some qualities that are going to be keepers in the league. And this is a franchise that desperately needs a boost from a young person. So all the credit to him. He's got a unique skill set, and let's hope he only gets better because I do think his hockey IQ is very, very high, which will serve him well, and he should get stronger physically. He's still a guy that you look at him, he looks like he could pass for a guy that doesn't have his driver's license, honestly.
So, Willie, when the Predators were preparing to take on the Rangers, you had all of the stats on the broadcast. I know I had all of the stats as well. The Rangers had yet to win a home game. They were 0-6-1 at home. They had been shut out 5 times in 7 home games, something that hadn't been done to start a season in, if I recall correctly, nearly 100 years in the NHL. So I'll be honest with you, the end result of the game on Monday was totally predictable, considering how the Predators have been playing. And as you can imagine, the heat on Andrew Burnett continues to rise after the Predators lost big on Monday. I said on the show Monday that this week is critical, not only for the team, but for Burnett as well. So how important do you think these two games truly are for Burnett specifically as the Predators try to snap out of this funk?
I think they're important. I think it's logical. I'll use the Hal Gill adage that he always says when teams go through tough times. If a team struggles, and this probably applies to any sport, if a team struggles for a certain amount of period of time, changes are going to be made in some form. And what those changes are different per team. But this team needs an infusion of confidence. They need a little bit of positivity that's gone in there. I think the toughest thing for this team is they've had a lot of games where they've played very hard. They fought through adversity without Roman Josi. They've been in position to win games, but they've made the critical mistake at critical times that has cost their record. And this is the woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? It's a results-based game. But I think their record easily could be much more palatable had they just not made some huge gaffes at the wrong time that have cost them dearly. And they're also a team that, Adam, is much more likely to have a game like Monday where they get blown out than the explosiveness of a team that's going to blow out the opposition more often than not. So their margin for error is up. Their spurtability, their explosiveness is fairly low the way they are constructed right now, unless the Matthew Woods and more guys give them an infusion of power, or you have a resurgence from a Jonathan Marchessault, so a Steven Stamkos, some of the veteran guys. And, of course, they've got to get Josi back. That's the other guy that can be a game changer for them. So there's a lot of things that are contributing to where they are right now. But let's just take it. Let's be honest. You look at the Rangers lineup. The Rangers are a great team on the road. That's what, you know, when you say with the home record is better team than the Predators on Monday night. And all of the things that have plagued the Predators came together on one night. And so you have a bad taste in your mouth as you start this global series.
And the two games won't be easy. The Pittsburgh Penguins have been one of the best stories of the first month of the season. During their preseason predictions, everybody agreed that the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to be bad. The only question people really had was, will Sidney Crosby ask out of Pittsburgh so he can chase one more Stanley Cup title? But the Penguins are off to a really good start. Crosby and Evgeny Malkin have found the fountain of youth. They're putting up a ton of points. The intriguing aspect of this matchup as well is about whether Dan Muse, A, was head coaching material in the NHL, and B, would command the respect of Crosby and Malkin and Chris Letang and Erik Karlsson. So the opponent that the Predators are going to play on Friday and Sunday, they're no pushovers. So that makes it even tougher for the Predators to get this right.
Yeah, the Penguins have overachieved. There's no doubt about it. They have leveled off a little bit in the last 5 or 6 games. They're not playing nearly as well. They've been banged up. So maybe the mojo is turning a little bit. But full marks to Dan Muse. And he's got a couple of familiar names as assistant coaches as well. Nick Bonino was his first hire. I got a chance to see Nick and Dan Muse today at the hotel. And a lesser-known Predator, and I think it precedes your time in Nashville, Adam, but Rich Clune, who was one of the great characters of the game, very yes. animated guy, funny guy, he's on the staff as well. And they all marvel at Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, who is underrated in the category of very hard workers for their age. They're not just relying on everything that they've done. They continue to really bust it, evolve, and play well. And that really is something that I think the Predators would love to get out of the Marchessaults, the Stamkos. Reinvent yourself a little bit. Keep reinventing yourself. Evolve and find ways to be effective, even if it's not the same way that you played before. Of course, Crosby and Malkin, they're still with the same organization they've always been with. So it's a little easier for them probably than Stamkos and Marchessault and Brady Shea, who are trying to do it in a different place. But really, that's what sustained the Pittsburgh, is they have bought in to the new coaching staff, and they are playing well, and they're punching above their weight right now.
The Predators take on the Penguins from Sweden on Friday at 1 p.m. Central and Sunday at 8 a.m. Central. So some Sunday morning hockey. Of course, you can hear both of those games right here on 102.5 The Game, and you can catch Willie Donick and Chris Mason on the television broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network. Willie Donick, we miss you. We haven't seen you much lately. By the time this airs, I assume you will be fast asleep.
Depends on the nightlife in Sweden. But we'll see. Adam, we're still trying to take in the city. It's been a little rainy, but it is a gorgeous city. It is very, very different. And that's what you love about experiences like this. It's something that otherwise I probably would never have done. So I'll have more to report on the backdrop of Stockholm in the coming days. But enjoy yourself on DVD, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Yes, we will catch up with you at some point before
Pavia for Heisman, by the way. I'm carrying the torch here in Sweden. For any, I guess there's no Heisman voters in Sweden, but if there are, I'll get to them. I got my Vanderbilt hat.
Good to know. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue the Predators conversation coming up next. Again, if you want to get in on that conversation, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
And I know the contract is lengthy and it's not small, but if you're not talking about looking at UC Saros, then what are we doing here? Like, I think when you look at the Nashville Predators and look, you know, come available if they decide to go the rebuild mode, like I look at Saros and the Nashville organization specifically with his relationship with Barry Trotz, and I've always said that you can expect players to go along with one rebuild. I think that's fair, but considering how short careers are, you can't ask a player to go through two rebuilds. And if this is that Nashville is going to go, I would expect that Barry Trotz would have that conversation with UC Saros, like, look, this is the direction we're going to go. We tried, we loaded up Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, like, and it didn't work. We need to go a different direction here. We love you, but we can't ask you to do this again.
That was Jeff Marek, who most of you know from his time at Sportsnet, used to work with our friend Elliot Freeman, talking about UC Saros. And look, the Predators are bad, by the way. Great to catch up with Willie Donick. I miss Willie. We need Willie back here. We haven't been all together as a big happy family in quite some time because Willie's been traveling. And when he wasn't traveling, he was incredibly sick. Yes, precisely. So the Predators are bad, so a lot of their players are going to be named in trade rumors. Steven Stamkos has been mentioned quite a bit. Ryan O'Reilly has started to get mentioned quite a bit. But the UC Saros thing, I don't quite get it. Jesse Granger, who writes for The Athletic, covers the Vegas Golden Knights, but also does a lot of work on goalies. He tweeted the other day, quote, "Yes, I know it's a big contract, but if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I'm calling Nashville asking about UC Saros every single day from now until the deadline. Find a way." And this is just one trade rumor that I can't get behind. I can't imagine, maybe I'm missing somebody obvious, but I can't recall a player who gets traded in the first year of an 8-year contract. And UC Saros is armed with a no movement clause, so he has total control over his situation. The Edmonton Oilers can call Barry Trotz and say, "Hey, we've got this great trade package for UC Soros. And Barry Trotz can go to UC Soros and tell him, and UC Soros can say, no thanks, and that's the end of the conversation. So Soros has struggled this year. The team has struggled this year. I just can't imagine a scenario where the Predators trade UC Soros this season. I just think that contract would be so difficult to move with the term on the contract. The cap hit is manageable, but you'd probably, it would require some cap gymnastics to make that trade work. Soros has control over his situation, so.
But wouldn't that be an indictment on the team if they indeed did that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If the Predators traded UC Soros, not even UC Soros has played 14 games this season into his new contract. If the Predators traded him after that, yeah, that is an incredible indictment on Barry Trotz. So, look, we can talk Stamkos. We can talk O'Reilly. We can talk Marchessault about potential trades. But the UC Soros thing, I just think it's way too complicated to work.
No, I mean, I think the last person you try to move is your goalie, especially if you don't. What if you move your goalie? What's your backup plan? Anonin?
Yes, Anonin, and that has not gone well. He has not played well.
And that's what I'm saying. So you got to have a because even one you if you do trade away UC, which I don't think they will, you are saying we are rebuilding, and then you say, well, it's not fair to ask UC to go through another one. It's not fair to ask Roman and the rest of those guys that have been here to go through another one. Now, granted, I understand that. Listen, maybe they should have did this a while ago. You know, maybe they shouldn't have went out and tried to, you know, at least keep themselves in a playoff hunt. I'm not going to say go for it, but to keep themselves in a playoff hunt and keep themselves relevant in regards to even Stanley Cup talk. But if you are saying it's not fair to him, it wouldn't be fair to him to ask. Wouldn't that same sentiment be to the other guys as well? Like,
yes.
I think you're too far in right now to make a drastic U-turn.
Yeah.
Like, you going down the road right now at 55, 60. You can't just turn. You gotta let this thing slow down, which means you may have to relieve the head coach and you may just have to let the season play out. But to try to take an abrupt turn right now with training where you go, nah.
I mean, the other day when I was leaving, it might have been last night, when I was leaving the station, I'm sure many of y'all have driven by the station on Murfreesboro Pike.
Yes.
Some guy blew past me. He had to be going 80 miles an hour. So I get what you're saying there, Derek. Yeah, I just think logistically this trade would not work. You're trading a player in year one of an 8-year contract. You're trading a goaltender who has been struggling over the past couple of years. You are trading. You're going to have to figure out the cap situation. He makes nearly $8 million, which, again, for number one goalies isn't a ton. But you've got to, you know, you're going to have to take on contracts. It just seems too complicated. So I just – there are many other trades I envision, but UC Soros – is not one of them. One texter says, what rebuild did Soros already go through,
though?
That's
what I was thinking.
We have never been through a true rebuild. I mean, that is true. The Predators have never undergone what I would consider a true rebuild, which is look at what's been going on in Chicago in recent years, Anaheim, San Jose, Detroit. Like, those are true rebuilds. The Predators, in their history, have never undergone a true rebuild. They've had some down years, but they've been able to build back up pretty quickly. Mark on our text line says, what is a reasonable haul for Steven Stamkos if you retain half the salary? A third rounder, is that worth it? That's a good question mark. I don't know what you could get back for Steven Stamkos in a trade, because Steven Stamkos has been struggling, but he's still Steven Stamkos, right? He comes with the name brand recognition. And if you're a team that has a center who can actually get Stamkos the puck, then maybe you are willing to pay a little bit more because you think, hey, the reason why Steven Stamkos stinks right now is because he plays for the Predators. So that's a good question. I'm not really sure what Steven Stamkos could go for in a trade if the Predators retain half the salary. That's worth looking into. Matthew from Jolton says, move Stamkos, Marchessault, Halla, Bunting, O'Reilly, and Saros and plan for the future. I think Halla, Bunting, they're probably as good as gone. They're pending unrestricted free agents. O'Reilly is absolutely worth something. I think O'Reilly, last year, the Colorado Avalanche traded for Brock Nelson, who was a second-line center from the New York Islanders, and they got a first-round pick and a top-forward prospect named Cal Ritchie. I think you should get at least that for Ryan O'Reilly, even though Ryan O'Reilly will tell you that he's only had one good year and he can't make a six-foot pass and he's just the most awful hockey player who ever lived. He'll tell you that after the game. By the way, he said in New York on Monday that he wishes he hadn't said any of those things, and he sounded like a crybaby. Those were his words. But I think O'Reilly, like that's the catch 22 with trading Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly can actually get you something worth something, but you're losing a lot in trading away Ryan O'Reilly. Like the Predators would have absolutely zero center depth. They barely have center depth now. They would have absolutely zero center depth if they were to trade Ryan O'Reilly. Do the Predators, Jeremy in Clarksville says, do the Predators have the same issue the Titans have? Their players aren't worth much in trade. Yeah, I would say that. Like Eric Hall.
It's not as bad. I would say it's not as bad as the Titans because I think if it was a little bit easier to move guys in hockey,
yeah,
I think you would see more movement even in a situation like this.
Right.
But it's not. So it's hard to eat. They may have more players that are worthy of a trade and compensation back, but it's hard to get out the contract.
Right. Jeremy, that was the text I just read. Mm-hmm. But to Jeremy's point, like Eric Halla, Michael Bunting, they can probably get you mid-round draft picks, third-round picks, fourth-round picks. You know, nothing too exciting. You know, looking at the players who do not have trade protection, O'Reilly does not, although the Predators treat him as if he does. O'Reilly is, of the players on the team, who I think could realistically be traded. So I'm not talking Roman Josi or Philip Forsberg again. I'm not sure I really believe the UC Saros stuff. Ryan O'Reilly is the player who could get you the most. Ryan O'Reilly, here's the thing though, Derek, and I've said this before. Ryan O'Reilly, to me, is the Jeffrey Simmons of the Nashville Predators. O'Reilly is the player who could get you the most in a trade, but are the Predators going to trade him, or are they going to consider him off-limits, much like the Titans did with Jeffrey Simmons? Because you heard Mike Borgonzi, that was last week, right, talking about how valuable Jeffrey Simmons is to the Titans in building a culture and all of those things. The same thing can be said for Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly will tell you he's the worst player of all time, but he's won the Stanley Cup. He's been a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, which means he was playoff MVP. He's won the Selke Trophy, which is given to the best defensive forward in the NHL. He's a winner. Mm-hmm. It's not looking like it right now, but Ryan O'Reilly is absolutely a winner. So you could trade Ryan O'Reilly. Teams would love to have Ryan O'Reilly. There were teams last season that would have traded for Ryan O'Reilly, but he stayed around. So that's the question I have. It's very similar to the Simmons situation. Mm-hmm. Does Barry Trotz value Ryan O'Reilly the same way Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, etc., value Jeffrey Simmons? Is it more valuable to the Predators to have Ryan O'Reilly around to mentor the young players, or is it more valuable to get the picks and or prospects you could get for Ryan O'Reilly? So that's a question that the Predators are going to have to answer. One texter says, what fans are not understanding is that with Trotz at the helm, there will never be a tear-down rebuild. Not going to happen. Stamkos could be traded, but is the return going to be worth the 50% retention? I'm unsure. What I do think is that some more of the young guys need to get more time. It's certainly working for Matt Wood. I mean, look, Matt Wood's been a great story. We'll see if he can keep it up starting on Friday in Sweden. But yeah, like when you trade Eric Halla, Michael Bunting, maybe you trade Michael McCarron, like then you insert young guys into their spots. So look, this will be something worth keeping an eye on over the course of the season because the Predator season doesn't look like it's going anywhere. But the UC Saros stuff that I've been hearing, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jeff Merrick and other people who have mentioned UC Saros in a trade. But I just have a hard time seeing it play out, at least this season. 615-737-1025 will continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. They are back in action on Friday, a 1 p.m. puck drop Central Time against the Pittsburgh Penguins in Stockholm, Sweden. The two teams also play on Sunday at 8 a.m. Central. You can hear both of those games, as always, right here on 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll get back into our conversation about brand bias in the CFP. I'd love to get Hutton's thoughts on that, and we'll talk Titans and NFL with our friend Jonathan Hutton. That's coming up next, 615-737-1025. DVD is presented to you by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think. With Bax Homeworks, get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com.